Holy Gospel for this Sunday is found in Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, beginning at verse 5. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we live in the midst of fearful times. Lord, help us to look to you to find our peace, our hope, and our comfort. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know what always strikes me as a little bit funny when we read a gospel reading like that, and we end the way we always do, "This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." And there's been very little gospel in the text. I suspect this kind of comes on a day in which we would love to hear a nice, calm, comforting reading, and instead what we get is one that is filled with all these terrible signs. Here's just a few of them. Jesus says, "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he, and the time is at hand,' but don't go after them. You will hear of wars and tumults. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes, and famines, and pestilences. They will lay hands on you and persecute you. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies, and they will die by the sword. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and distress in the nations. The very heavens will be shaken." Not a lot of gospel comfort in that. And this reading comes at a time when we would love to hear some comfort. And just think about all of the problems facing our world today. Think about the problems facing our nation. Think about all of the scary news that we've been hearing. Think about the election this past week. And I don't know where you are politically. Maybe you think that we just elected the Antichrist and you're worried about that. Or maybe you think that we just narrowly avoided electing the Antichrist and you're worried about what that says about our country. You know, I don't know where you are, and I don't need to know where you are politically, because my point is not to change your politics. And my purpose here today is to help you think differently about the world, to think about all this stuff that's going on and think about it in light of what God says to us in His Word. My purpose is to help you live as a follower of Jesus, regardless of what's happening politically in our nation, in our world. You know, if your hope is in some politician to come and make everything right in this world, I'm sorry to tell you, you are going to be sadly disappointed. Our hope as Christians is not found in any elected leader or in any political party. Our hope as Christians is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where our hope is found. So my purpose, my goal today is to help you find peace in God as you seek to follow Jesus in the world. And so talk about how do we keep our focus on Jesus in the midst of everything that's going on around us. Because yes, there are scary things happening in our world. Yes, there are scary things in our text today. But there is also much gospel, much hope, much comfort in our reading today. So the first question we need to ask ourselves then is this: when will all of these signs that Jesus talks about be fulfilled? The answer is this: these signs have been fulfilled, they are being fulfilled, and they will be fulfilled. Now, I hope that doesn't sound like a non-answer. What I'm getting at is the nature of prophecy. See, a prophecy is not just sort of a normal linear kind of progression the way we think about with our Western minds. No, a prophecy is, it's as if the prophet is painting you a word picture of a distant mountain range. And you can see all of the peaks of the mountain. And sometimes you can see which mountain is in front of the other, and sometimes it's a little hard to see which one lies behind the other and vice versa. And it's hard to see how far the distance is between the peak in front and the peak that follows it. And you certainly can't see what's happening in the valley between those mountain peaks. So even though the words on a page may come one after another, those events may be describing separate peaks on a mountain range that could be separated by a vast, vast difference. So the first answer is that these signs have been fulfilled. Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Well, think back to the crucifixion. When Jesus died on the cross, the sun was darkened, the earth shook, the dead got up out of their graves and appeared to the living because they thought that this was the end. Things were shaken. The signs were fulfilled. Much of this prophecy was then fulfilled around 70 AD. The Jews, living under Roman rule, continually rebelling, continually pushing against that rule, finally pushed too far. And Rome came in and surrounded the city of Jerusalem. And those in the hill country that fled into the city, as was normal in those days, most of them suffered and died. It was only the ones who fled to the hills that survived. And Rome sacked the city of Jerusalem, and they tore down the temple. And Josephus, the ancient historian, records that there were many earthquakes happening at that time as Jerusalem was overthrown. These signs have been fulfilled. Much of it anyway. But much of this is still being fulfilled. Are there still wars and rumors of wars? Absolutely. Are there still earthquakes and famines and pestilences and suffering? Absolutely. Are Christians still being betrayed by parents and brothers and relatives and friends and handed over to death? Absolutely. Think about China a generation ago. Think about what's going on in the Middle East and Africa right now. One missionary has said that there are more Christians suffering and dying for the faith now than ever before in the history of the world. Think about the suffering that Christians in America are going through and the increased hostility and persecution that we face. These signs are very much being fulfilled today as we're living. And yet, these signs are yet to be fulfilled. Jesus has not come back yet. There's still more to come, and there's still more for us to do as we live our lives following after Jesus, to proclaim the news of his coming kingdom, to watch for his return. His promise is that he is coming back. There will still be a day when the Son of Man appears in great power and glory to set everything right. So what's our response? How do we live as followers of Jesus in this world as we watch these signs, we see all of these things that's going on? Well, Jesus gives us several responses in our text. The first is this: do not be terrified. That's the first thing he says to his disciples as he tells them about all these signs. Do not be terrified. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? When we live in a world in which we are constantly bombarded by all the negativity, if it bleeds, it leads, goes the old saying in the news media. And the news is constantly sending us negative things, and social media is constantly there. We're constantly wrapped up in this stream of information from friends and family members who are worried and afraid and panicked, and all this stuff is going on, and it's so easy to get wrapped up in. And I would love to tell you that I can stand up here today and that I'm perfectly at peace and calm with everything that's going on in the world. But I feel it too. I can't tell you how much time I spent this past week interacting with friends and family members who are panicked and afraid and feeling some of their worry as well. It's easy to get wrapped up in all of this stuff. And yet Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. The reason he gave us these signs is to tell us that he's in control. I mean, he didn't give it to us as a sort of checklist, as like seven of them are done already. There's three yet to go before Jesus comes back. Or maybe Tuesday was the third and there's only two left. I mean, he doesn't give us them as a checklist. He gives these signs to us simply to say that he's not surprised by any of this, that he knows that this stuff is going on. He gives them as if to say, don't worry, I'm in control. I've got this. Walked in this morning, and Tom Perry, have your coffee cup. Tom's drinking out of his coffee cup here. He says, I've got this, God. I mean, that's the point. That's the point of all these signs in our scripture reading here. Jesus is not surprised. He's not thrown off. He's not worried. He's not looking at something that he can't deal with. He's got this. And so we as Christians who live by faith in Jesus can look to the cross, can look to the God who loved us enough that he was willing to die there for us, to pay the penalty of death for us, who rose to life again and conquered death and has promised us he's coming again. He's got this. We don't need to be afraid. And every time we begin to get bombarded by those negative messages again and begin to feel afraid, all we need to do is look away from those signs in the world and look back to the sign of the cross and be reminded that he is in control. Do not be terrified. Second thing he says is this: Jesus calls us to bear witness in this world. Jesus says that all of this trouble and fear, even and maybe especially the persecution that we as Christians are going to experience in this world, all of this happens so that we can bear witness to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We live in a nation that is deeply divided, with people on both sides who are deeply hurt, who are worried, who are afraid. What an incredible opportunity for us as children of God who have hope in Jesus Christ to stand there in the midst of this hurt and this pain and this fear and be people of peace, to be people of comfort, to be people of hope and joy, to say to our friends and our family members, yes, I know, I get it, I see all of the stuff that's happening in the world, and yet I still have peace in God because I know that He's in control. Think about our ability, because we know who we are, our identity as children of God, to not have to defend ourselves, be worried about others, but to be able to see those others, to notice them, to listen to understand and not judge and condemn, to hear their hurts and their worries and their fears and their burdens, and to accept them for who they are. Not necessarily to agree, but to accept them and to love them and to care for them and to work with them. We as the people of God who have hope in this world have an incredible opportunity to witness to the reason for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us in the midst of these troubled times to bear witness to our faith. Third thing he says is this: straighten up and raise up your heads. That is to say, keep your focus on Jesus and on His coming again. And it's so easy to become afraid. It's so easy to get wrapped up in all the things that are going on and the news that's being shouted at you and all the things that this world says are necessary to have a fulfilling, complete life. We can't see the spiritual realities of this world with our eyes, and so it's easy to lose sight of them. But Jesus says, straighten up. Raise up your heads. Keep your eyes focused on His cross and His promise that He is coming again. Don't be distracted by this world. Jesus gives us these signs to point out to us that this world is temporary, to point us to the eternal life that is to come. Yes, the election is over. And another one will come in 4 years. And another one after that. And another one after that. And another one after that. Until they don't. We don't have any biblical promise that our nation is going to last forever. We do have a promise that Jesus Christ is building His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have a promise that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, who has a house with many rooms, and Jesus has gone there to prepare a place there for us, and He is coming back so that we may be with Him. These are the promises that God has given to us. Are there important issues facing our nation? Absolutely. But are they ultimately important? No, they are not. Even as we live in this world, we keep our eyes focused on the promise of His coming again, His promise to make all things new. As we look around the world, we can see all sorts of scary signs, the problems that we face. But as we look to the Bible, we see the promise of God that He is still in control in the midst of all that's going on, that He is working for our good, that He's coming again. May that unshakable truth give you peace and comfort as you follow Jesus in the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.